Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangat Japa conference call. Today we have the very good fortune of having His Grace Mukundat Prabhuji on our Bhakti Sangat Japa group. Prabhuji will speak on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, verse number 17 onwards. Prabhuji is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada who was initiated by His Divine Grace at the young age of 16 years. For many years he served under His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He then went on to learn Sanskrit and editor for BBT. He worked closely with His Grace Gopi Parandhan Prabhu on the translation of Sanatan Goswami's Brihat Bhagavat Mrita and is now working on Jeev Goswami's Shad Sandarbhas. He lives close to ISKCON Krishna Balram Temple in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He has also learned classical Indian music and is well known for his sweet kirtans. Mukundat Prabhu is also expert in deity worship. He is very learned in the scriptures and his presentations are very deep as well as sweet. So we welcome Prabhuji on the call. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, thank you.
Can everybody hear?
No, Prabhu. Prabhuji's voice is
low. Okay. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can
hear
you.
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji.
Okay. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
So as we stated, this is Madhya Lila, chapter 24, beginning with text number 17. Actually, we're beginning a new phase of this explanation of the Atmaram verse, and we're talking about, in particular, the word Nirgrantha. So, before we continue, let me just offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said, Nirgrantha shabde kahe avidya granthihin, viti nishedha veda shastra jnana divihin. The word Nirgrantha refers to one who is liberated from the material knots of ignorance. It also refers to one who is devoid of all regulative principles and joined in Vedic literature. It also refers to one who does not have knowledge. So today's text is Murkani Chamle Chadi Shastra Raktagana Dhanya Ganjai Nirgrantha Arye Nirthan. Nirgrantha also refers to one who is illiterate, low-born, misbehaved, unregulated, and devoid of respect for the Vedic literature. The word also refers to one who is a capitalist and to one who has no riches. You can see here what is the great diversity of definitions we find in Sanskrit. The same word can mean one thing and it means exactly the opposite of that same thing. For example, Nirgrantha means somebody who has a lot of wealth and somebody who has no wealth. So it's difficult. There's no purport here, so we'll go on. Then he quotes, Nirnishchaye nishkramarthe nirnirmana nishethayoho grantho dhane atha sandarbhe varna sangrahane sangrathane ticha. This is a quotation from the Vishva Prakash dictionary. It means the prefix nihi may be used for a sense of ascertainment, radiation, construction, or forbidding. The word grantha means riches, thesis, and composition. And the purport just tells us that this is from Vishva Prakash. So, That is the end of the discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, at least in this chapter, about the word Nirgrantha. We can add a few things, because in this verse that we're discussing, the Atmarama verse, it's actually coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 7, text number 10. Atmaramashtamunayo nirgrantha apyarukame purvanti ahetatim bhaktim ittam bhudagano harihi. You've heard the translation already. All kinds of nirgranthas and atmaramas, they engage in worship, unmotivated worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, even though they're liberated souls, because Krishna has such transcendental attributes that even their minds are attracted. Sridhar Swami, in commenting on this verse, he says, Nirgrantha, Granthebhyo Nirgataha. This is his definition of Nirgrantha. Somebody who has gone beyond the books. Actually, if we think about it, book knowledge, Srila Prabhupada very often says, is not enough in and of itself. Even the Srimad Bhagavatam is not enough in and of itself, by which I mean, unless we apply the teaching of the Srimad Bhagavatam, just memorizing its content won't help us very much. We'll, of course, be purified, but very, very, very slowly. So a person who has gone beyond books means a person who is beyond the theoretical knowledge. This is an important part that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained in his commentary, which we'll get to in a moment. But Sridhar Swami continues, he says, Taruktam Gidasu, and then he quotes Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text number 52, which someone may know, Yadate Mohakalinam Buddhir Gati Tirishyati Tadagantasi Nirvedam Shrotavyasya Shrutasyacha. We can read Srila Prabhupada's translation. He says, when your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Purport. There are many good examples in the lives of the great devotees of the Lord, of those who became indifferent to the rituals of the Vedas simply by devotional service to the Lord. When a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, he naturally becomes completely indifferent to the rituals of fruitive activities, even though an experienced brahmana. Sri Madhavendra Puri, the great devotee and acharya in the line of the devotees, says, Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato hosnana tubhyam namo ho devas pitarashtya tarpana vithao naham kshama kshamyatam yatva prapapi nishadya yadavakulottam sasya kamsat dhishah smaram smaram agham harami taralam manyekam anyename. Oh, my prayers three times a day. That means sandhya vandanam, chanting Gayatri thrice a day. All glory unto you. O bathing, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O demigods, O forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer you my respect. Now, wherever I sit, I can remember the great descendant of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, and thereby I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me. Srila Prabhupada says, the Vedic rites and rituals are imperative for neophytes. Comprehending all kinds of prayer three times a day, taking bath early in the morning, offering respects to the forefathers, etc. But when one is fully in Krishna consciousness and is engaged in the transcendental loving service, his transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regular principles because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices as recommended in the revealed scriptures. And similarly, If one has not understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engages in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagement. Persons in Krishna consciousness transcend the limit of Shabda Brahma, or the range of the Vedas and the Upanishads. As Krishna says next in Bhagavad Gita, Shruti pratipannate yadasthasyati nishchala samadhau achala buddhit tada yogam abhapyati. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada comments there that to say that one is in samadhi is to say that one has fully realized Krishna consciousness. That is, one is in full samadhi, has realized Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So it's needless to say, but we should say it anyway, that this talks about someone who has reached the Paramahamsa stage. It's not, of course, applicable to those who are struggling to come to any kind of spiritual realization, what to speak of the Paramahamsa stage. For neophyte, even for neophyte devotees, the point of this verse, Nir Grantha Api Arukrame, if even the Paramahamsas or the liberated souls are engaging in devotional service, then certainly those of us who are struggling with our senses, we also have to engage in devotional service. So Sri Goswami gives this explanation that this is one definition of nirgrantha. Granthebhyo nirgata. You've gone beyond books. Somebody who has not even opened the books cannot claim to have gone beyond them. That is called cheating. So he gives another explanation here. Yadva granthireva granthaha. Nivritta hridayam granthaya iti arthaha. In other words, the word nirgrantha can also refer to somebody in whose heart there is no knot. We all have a hard knot within our heart tying us to whatever it is that we are attached to. We're attached to our families, we're attached to our bodies first and foremost. And even if we don't have a material body, we are attached to our false egos. It's like the ghosts and spirits, they don't have any material body, but they still have this hard knot in the heart, and they're attached to the false ego. So that's another definition that he gives. Somebody who's untied the knot. And then he raises the rhetorical question, Nanu muktanam kim bhaktye dityadi sarvakshepa pariharartamaha itam bhuta gunahari. In this Atmarama verse, he explains that if someone wonders, well, why is it that even liberated souls would engage in bhakti, then any kind of doubt in that regard, he says, this verse is spoken in order to completely dispel that doubt. So these are Sridhar Swami's comments on the word nirgrantha. Jiva Goswami says that this Atmarama verse is meant to clarify the sage's questions about Vyasa's own experience in samadhi by explaining that of all the Atmaramas, by referring to that, to the example of all the Atmaramas that are explained in this verse. So according to Jiva Goswami, nirgrantha means viti nisheta atita. Vidhi nisheda atita, somebody who is no longer subject to the rules and regulations, or that is to say the rules and the prohibitions. We know that there are two things we find throughout the Vedas, and from the instructions of the acharyas who are speaking from the Vedas. One thing is vidhi, the thing that you're supposed to do. Another thing is nisheda, the thing that you're not supposed to do. Just like Srila Prabhupada tells us, you chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on your Japmala. That is his vidhi. And the nishedha, fourfold. We have four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. Like this. And throughout the Shastras, we find also there are so many other rules and regulations are given. But when someone has come to this Paramahamsa stage, which is to say that when he's freed from anger and from other things that arise from false ego, then that person can be called nirgrantha. because there's no more knot in the heart. He's untied that knot. So Jiva Goswami also defines Nirgrantha in that way. Nirgrantha ahankara granthayova. He's gone beyond that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reiterates the same things that have been given us to us by Sridhar Swami and by Jiva Goswami. But he adds a couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. The first verse he says is from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, text 21, which you may know. Very famous verse. Bhidyate hridaya granthish chedyante sarva samshayaha kiyante chasi karmani drishta evatmanishvare. This is the concluding verse of a set of five verses that began with text number 16, in which the process of awakening our love of Godhead is described as the result of hearing, associating with sadhus, serving those sadhus, developing a taste for hearing, and actually assimilating what we've heard. So the conclusion is this: Vidyate Hridaya Granthish, just as Sridhar Swami was explaining a moment ago. Nirgrantha indicates a person whose knot in the heart has been untied, or cut, actually. It's very difficult to untie the Gordian knot of material attachment. And therefore, Krishna advises Arjuna, don't even bother trying to untie this knot. Better just slash it with the sword of knowledge. So this is what we're talking about here. Bhidyante means cut. Hridaya grantish chidyante also means cut to pieces. Sarva samshaya, all the samshayas. Samshaya means doubts. So all these things, these doubts that we have, the ignorance that we have, this is what is tightening that knot within our heart. If we can somehow free ourselves from ignorance, then in this way we can slash that hard knot of material attachment within the heart. So in this way one becomes actually the master, drishta evatman ishvare, of this of his mind and his senses. So this is another definition Jiva Goswami gives, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives, by way of quoting this Bhagavatam verse. Srila Prabhupada comments here, attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. If we don't understand our own real nature, we will never in a million years understand Bhagavan's real nature. We can only have a mundane conception of Bhagavan as long as we having a mundane conception of ourselves. So aham brahmasmi, this is, or tatvamasi, I am Atma, all these Vedic injunctions that we hear about the nature of the spirit soul, and particularly with the things that Krishna tells Arjuna, first of all, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, these things have to be realized. And Krishna himself confirms this way at the end of Bhagavad Gita, which we'll get to in a moment. So anyway, this... So many people have so many conceptions about who they are, but Srila Prabhupada points out that in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because the personality of God has taken charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service and transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because a devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. So this distinguishes the devotees from the all kinds of non-devotees. In the Jain tradition, two of the words that have been used in this Atmanama Shloka are very common. One of them is Muni, and the other one is Nirgrantha. These are titles that they have for those who are supposedly very advanced on that Jain path. Of course, that's atheism. Jainism is not a theistic science, or not a theistic tradition. And those who are so-called Nirgranthas on that path, even they can become attractive if they get mercy from a pure devotee. And here, submissively from a pure devotee. So the next verse that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 18, And the text is number 28. And that verse says, Jnana nishto virokto va madbhakto vanapekshakaha salingan ashramam chakva chared vidhigocharaha. That means that a learned transcendentalist dedicated to the cultivation of knowledge and thus detached from external objects, or my devotee who is detached even from desire for liberation, both neglect those duties based on external rituals or paraphernalia. Thus, their conduct is beyond the range of rules and regulations. This is another insight that we can get into the meaning of this word, nirgrantha, to be above the book, to have gone beyond the shrutis and the smritis, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, the purport here says, this verse describes the paramahamsa stage of life, in which there is no further need for rituals, external paraphernalia, or rules and regulations. A completely realized jnana yogi pursuing liberation, or beyond that, a perfect devotee of the Lord, who does not desire even liberation, has no further desire for material engagement. When one completely purifies the mind, there is no possibility of sinful behavior. Rules and regulations are meant for guiding those who have a tendency to act in ignorance for personal gratification. But one who is perfect in spiritual consciousness can move freely, as described here by the Lord. Then he gives the example. Somebody who tends to drive recklessly and gets a lot of tickets and is unfamiliar with the local situation, the local roads, and the local laws, that person certainly has to very carefully follow all the rules that are posted. We have an elaborate system of signposts throughout, where are we now, city of Atlanta. Everything is telling you what to do, what the speed limit is, when to stop, if you can turn left, if you, everything, all, every detail is given for you. Unless, because we don't know these things. But if one is driving the same path every single day, you get to know, what is the speed limit at this spot? Where do I have to stop? How many stoplights are there? We know these things. So it is exactly like that. If a person has thoroughly assimilated the teachings of the Shastra to the degree that it has become second nature for him to follow them, not second nature, first nature, when it is his actual swabhava, because the spirit soul doesn't have a tendency to deviate, then that person is considered to be nirgrantha, as he said in the beginning. This verse is describing the position of the Paramahamsa. One should not, however, artificially imitate the exalted position of a Paramahamsa devotee, for such imitation will quickly ruin one's spiritual career. So this is the other point that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wants to bring up. It's a very important one. Yadva vidhi nishedha granthatitaha. So he's again giving the same essential definition that has been given by his predecessors. Grantha means somebody who is above, who has passed beyond the books that deal with rules and regulations. That especially means the Smriti Shastras. Smriti Shastras for a Paramahamsa, they can be neglected in certain circumstances. For example, when Krishna is playing his flute in the forest of Vrindavan, and the gopis have been told that when Krishna plays this particular raga, that is the signal that you have to meet at such and such a place. Those gopis, if they consider that what Krishna is asking is against the Shastras, and therefore they refuse to go to meet with Krishna, that is not right. Because the Shastra is meant to bring you to the point of surrendering to Krishna. So this is an example. Obviously, until we're gopis, this example is maybe not the most relevant. But the principle should be understood, that when we come to that level of spiritual advancement, then we can worry about becoming nirgranthas, or we can claim that we're already nirgranthas. So yavruktam ched avidhi gocharaha chared avidhi gocharaha. That person is called avidhi gochara, somebody who is realm of activities is beyond the rules and regulations of the Shastra. So tathabhuta api ahitatim bhaktim kurvanti. Despite being in that condition, wherein one is either through impersonal liberation or through pure devotional service, not bound by the rules and regulations of the Shastra, nonetheless, these people engage in ahaitati bhakti. This is the point that Yatmaram heard. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives three categories. Somebody who is beyond the scriptures, somebody who is beyond false ego, and somebody who is beyond the rules and regulations and prohibitions of the scriptures. So someone might ask here, what about Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is also a scripture. Should we become transcendental to the Srimad Bhagavatam? Should we consider that Nirgrantha means that I have no more anything to do with the Srimad Bhagavatam? Actually, where I live in Vrindavan, there are such so-called devotees who say like this. And it's the wrong mentality. At least it's not exemplary mentality. Srimad Bhagavatam for most devotees will always be the paramount source of authority. And when we say that one has to become, when we say that Nirgrantha means he's free from the knot of false ego, does that false ego include the conception of being the servant of the servant of Krishna? Does that false ego involve discrimination? Sorry. Because we have this discrimination. We see that this person is the served savior, and I am the sevak. So that kind of false ego is good. And similarly, Nirgrantha, when it means to be beyond the rules and regulations, but we have so many rules and regulations in sadhana bhakti, we have to get up, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his purport, one has to get up before dawn, one has to chant his japa, one has to follow these four regular principles, all these things are there. So in the beginning, these things, at least, are very important. And we don't really have to even worry about becoming Nirgrantha unless we're already Paramahamsas. And that stage is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18 very nicely when Krishna instructs Arjuna about this. Chapter 18, text number 54 and 55, which again you should be familiar with. There Krishna says, Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kanchati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated, that is to say, when one is situated in Brahman realization, na shochati na kankshati, it is proven by the fact that he's no longer whining or complaining or crying about things, neither is he hankering after or envious of any other thing. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu, and therefore he can see all living beings equally, really, in fact, madhakti labhate param. Then he gets param bhakti, the supreme transcendental bhakti unto me. And he points out next to Arjuna, very next verse, pasyam am avijanati yavam yashchasmi tatvatah tato mam vishato gyatva tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate taranantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the supreme personality Godhead, only by devotional service, and one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So these are some of the things that our predecessor Acharyas has explained about the word Nirgrantha as it appears in this explanation. It's very abbreviated here in the chapter 24. But what have we heard today? I'm going to reiterate. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us the word Nirgrantha refers to someone who is liberated from material knots of ignorance, that we've heard from the Acharyas commenting on Bhagavatam. It refers to one who is devoid of all regular principles enjoined in Vedic literature, that we've also heard from several Acharyas in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In addition to what's stated here, it refers to a person who has no false ego. That's not something that we hear in this passage, but it's there in the Bhagavatam. And it also refers to somebody who doesn't have any knowledge. Nirgrantha means somebody who doesn't have any books. He's not reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. He leaves Bhagavad Gita as it is, shrink wrapped in his bookshelf, no worries. And then he goes on to use some pretty strong words. Murkha nicha mlecha adi shastra vyaktagan. Who are the persons who are independent of shastra? The fools, the lowly persons, and the mlechas. So we certainly don't want to be included in those categories. Therefore, for us, it's very important to every day assimilate Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, all the wonderful Vedic literature that Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to produce only for our benefit. We have to take advantage and show gratitude. This is something that I've heard many, many times from Radhanath Swami in particular. He's often emphasizing the importance of being grateful for what we've been given. Just to have the opportunity to hear Srila Prabhupada or to pick up these books and read them anytime. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, we were discussing Bhaktivinoda Thakur yesterday. In his time, he had great trouble, despite much endeavor, he had great trouble in locating even one copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it was a great source of consternation for him. We have the Chaitanya Charitamrita sitting on our bookshelves, but we leave it shrink-wrapped. Therefore, we can also be called Nirgrantha, only in that sense of the term. So, Nirgrantha also refers to one who is illiterate, low-born, misbehaved, unregulated, and devoid of respect for the Vedic literature. How do you respect the Vedic literature? You open it up and read it. The word also refers to one who is a capitalist and to one who has no riches. These are all the definitions that we've heard from the Vishva Prakash Dictionary, and in particular, the word is divided into two parts. There's upasarga, or a prefix, and then there's the main word. So nihi, the prefix, it means ascertainment, it means gradation, construction, or forbidding. And the word grantha means riches, that is to say money, or thesis, means an argument, sandarbha is the word used, and composition. So, that concludes our discussion on Nirgrantha from this particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know how much time we have. Maybe if someone has any questions, we can discuss anything that we've discussed so far. And then if you desire, we can go on to the next section.
Prabhuji, if you want, you can carry on for another 15, 20 minutes for sure.
Another 20 minutes?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, as much as you want.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, before you proceed, can I ask one question, Mataji?
Yeah, please go ahead, Prabhu, and even yeah. I have, but you please go ahead first.
Okay. So, before we go to the next section, Prabhuji, you mentioned two things. So one is that we have to always base our bhakti, our sadhana, on the scriptures. And yesterday you also mentioned Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidhinjana, Aikantiki, Harir Bhakti, Utpateva, Kalpam.
That is a very strong statement, by the way. You can explain it in a moment.
And then on the other hand, we also have Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra. Japa, tapa, aparanasya eva dehasya, mandanam lokaranjanam.
Yes. So how do we reconcile those two?
Yes.
Ramana. In the second verse, I would say shastra refers specifically to the smriti shastra. And the smriti shastra is, of course, the almost exclusive domain or concern of the karma mimamsakas, purva mimamsakas, the fruit of workers. So that means, like, you know, you have to follow every little rule and regulations in a persnickety way, just according to the letter of the law without considering its ultimate intention. Mm-hmm. In that sense, Bhagavad Bhakti, you know, which is devoid of the injunctions for performing Bhagavad Bhakti, on the other hand, that is a different thing altogether. It's not acceptable. As Rupa Goswami says, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, beginning with these. Yesterday we heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Do you remember what kind of he gives in his explanation of the song Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan, he explains the 10 offenses that are involved in chanting the holy name of Krishna. And while explaining the 10 offenses, when we're discussing Shruti Shastra Nindanam, he mentions that the devotees accept the 4 Vedas, they accept the Upanishads, they accept the Mahabharata, they accept the Bhagavad Gita, of course, they accept the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, they accept other Puranas as well, they accept the Dharma Shastras, they respect the Smriti Shastras that are composed by Vaishnava Acharyas, even they respect the ordinary conventional literature such as the Hitopadesha and other material instructions, but they have to respect those things and follow them, because that is what is required in order to raise us to the transcendental platform. But when one is already on the transcendental platform, then the shastras that are dealing primarily or exclusively with Buddhist rituals or mundane elevation, that can be neglected to some degree in the pursuit of Krishna's interests. Is that okay?
Yes. So that is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Trigunya Visham Veda.
Yes. These are Trigunya things. Once you have gone beyond the mode, Nistrigunya Bhava, once you have become Nistrigunya, then there's nor any need for the Trigunya thing. It's like Srila Prabhupada says in very simple language throughout his book, someone who has $100 has no more $10 problem.
Right.
So it's like that. These shastras that are, we gave the example, in the Bhagavatam purport gave the example. If you already know how to drive, if you're already a conscientious, sensitive driver and you understand the road, you know the directions and you know the rules, then you don't have to consult the driving manual every time you go to work. It's exactly like that. Some other questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Nanvat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a deep class, though I'm really very conditioned. This is your servant, Kirti Dasundri Rasi here. So, Prabhuji, like we are reading all those, words is about basically different words on the explanation of what this Atma Rama was, and speakers are really trying too hard. But somehow, like how to relate to it? Like originally, when this verse was spoken by Sri Sukadev Goswami, to whom actually he was referring? To, and then how Mahaprabhu is giving, like for example, this Nirgrantha word. On one sense he is saying that one who is liberated from these material knots of ignorance, and on the other hand, Nirgrantha also means one who is illiterate or who is foolish, murkha, right?
Yeah.
So, actually what he, Sukadev Goswami, why he quoted this verse, for whom he meant that verse when he quoted that, and then why Mahaprabhu, in what sense he is explaining it in a different way. I hope I'm making some sense while putting some questions.
Yeah, it's a good question also. Srila Prabhupada explains this in throughout his books, actually, but in particular in the first canto, in his commentary on this Atmanama verse itself, Srila Prabhupada has explained it, which I can read for you. He says, the word Nirgrantha conveys these ideas. One, one who is liberated from nescience. Two, one who has no connection with scriptural injunction. That is to say, one who is freed from the obligation of the rules and regulations mentioned in revealed scriptures, like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate, urchins, etc., who have no connection with regular principles. And three, a capitalist. And four, also one who is penniless. According to the Shabdakosh dictionary, the affix ni is used in the sense of one, certainty, two, counting, three, building, and four, forbidden. And the word grantha is used in the sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. So Srila Prabhupada, he's following very closely the commentaries of the acharyas on this particular thing, but it would seem to me from what he's written and what he's explained elsewhere as well that whether we are fools, whether we are urchins, illiterate, low class, or whether we're of the very highest caliber and transcendental, or whether we're liberated and personless, in all conceivable situations, it seems to me that the key to our success is to worship Krishna, because Krishna has transcendental qualifications that will appeal to everyone, including the liberated souls, including all these other souls. If that were not the case, then how did I come to Krishna consciousness? Is it clear?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. So originally when Sukadev Goswami spoke, yes, Prabhu, but originally when Sukadev Goswami, when he quoted this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, like speakers were telling that he was specifically referring to the impersonalists.
Yes. Shishonaka asked Sukadev Goswami. Shishonaka Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? This is the context.
In response to that,
in response to that question, this verse occurs. Atma, Nama, Shimuni, all kinds of self-realized people. This was Jiva Goswami, I think, his introduction. He's clarifying the sage's questions about Vyasa's experience in samadhi by explaining that all the different, any kind of Atmarama, any kind of Nirgrantha, etc., is going to take an interest in bhakti. So it is for everyone.
Oh, okay. Okay, Prabhuji, that makes sense. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Anything else?
We can continue and then we can have questions at the end.
Okay. So then, Chaitanya Charitamrita continues. We're now going to the next word. After Nirgrantha, the next word is Urukrama. So in text 19 he says, Urukrama shabde kohe bada jana kram, kram shabde kohe pada vikshepan. The word Urukrama refers to one whose krama or step is great. The word krama means throwing the foot forward, that is, stepping. And there's no purport, so I'll go on. Shakti kampa paripati yukti shakti akrama charana chalane kampaila tribhuvan. Krama also means power, trembling, a systematic method, argument, and a forcible attack by stepping forward. Thus, Vamana has caused the three worlds to tremble. Report, Srila Prabhupada writes. Uru means very great, and Krama means step. When Lord Vamanadeva was offered three steps of land, he expanded his three steps by covering the entire universe. In this way, the three worlds trembled, and therefore Sri Vamanadeva, the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, is referred to as Urukrama. How many names can you give? Urukrama means his steps are very vast. Trivikrama also. What do we have? Krama. We have Akrama, we have Anukrama, we have Krama, Vikrama, Trivikrama, Urukrama. All these words are used in devotional service. So Prabhupada is particularly, because the word is being used here, Uru, means very wide. This is why Lord Vamanadeva is called Urukrama. He takes big steps. Anyone who's ever been to Kanchipuram in South India, you know there's a big temple of Trivikrama there. The deity is maybe 20 feet high, and he's taking a huge step. You can't see the top. He's so big. Big, big deity there. So he's called Urukrama. Now we'll go on to text 21, which is a Sanskrit verse. Vishnur Nuvirya Gananam Katam Orhatiha Yat Partivanya Pikavir Jimame Rajansi Jat Kamhaya Varamhasa Kalata Tripashtam Yat Mat Trisamya Sadanat Urukampayanam. He's explaining this idea of the world, the three worlds trembling. He says, even if a learned man is able to count all the minute atoms in this material world, he still cannot count the potencies of Lord Vishnu. In the form of the Vamana incarnation, Lord Vishnu, without hindrance, captured all the planets extending from the root of the material world up to Satyaloka. Indeed, he caused every planetary system to tremble by the force of his steps. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 40. In the Rig Veda mantras, it is said, Om Vishnur Nuvirjanikam Pravocham Yat Parhivani Janamera Jansi Yoskam Bhayat Uttaram Sadhastam Vichatramana Tridhorugayaha. Very similar. The meaning of this verse is practically identical to that of the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, quoted above. So, this is an interesting point. Not only can we see the point that's being made in this verse, but we also can appreciate that the Srimad Bhagavatam, just like Bhagavad Gita, is not making new claims. It's not teaching anything different from what is taught in the four Vedas. Bhagavad Gita is sometimes called Gita Upanishad. The reason it's called Gita Upanishad is because throughout the entire Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is repeatedly and quite frequently quoting or paraphrasing from the Shruti mantras, from the four Vedas themselves, or from the Upanishads. And similarly, here Srila Prabhupada has demonstrated that this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is practically speaking the same idea as is given in the Rig Veda Samhita itself. So, we may count, not every atom in the material world, that's maybe a tall order, but suppose you want to count even just all the grains of sand on one beach. That's also very difficult to do. Sometimes we come to these wild statements like this. It's elsewhere stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam several times that even if you take everything in this material world and pulverize it, turn it into churna, powder, and then pour it out and count every little fine speck of dust from that powder, then still you're not going to come to all the wonderful qualities, and in this case it says potencies, of Lord Vishnu. And then it just gives one example. In the form of the Vamana incarnation, Lord Vishnu, without hindrance, captured all the planets extending from the root of the material world up to Satyaloka. Indeed, he caused every planetary system to tremble by the force of his steps. Therefore, he's called, again, Urukrama. Uru can mean, yes, big. Okay. So that's another thing. Vibhurupe vyape shakte dharana poshan madhurya shakte goloka aishwarye parabhyom. Through his all-pervasive feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has expanded the entire creation. He is holding and maintaining this creation by his extraordinary potency. By his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Through his six opulences, he maintains many Vaikuntha planets. That's very complex. Shall I read it again? Through his all-pervasive feature, what is the all-pervasive feature of the Lord?
Brahman.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead has expanded the entire creation. He is holding and maintaining this creation by his extraordinary potency. Adhara Shakti.
Is that Paramatma?
Or Balaram?
Paramatma.
By his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Through his six opulences, he maintains many Vaikuntha planets. So we're talking about four things: how the Lord expands in the material creation, how he upholds the material creation since the nature of matter is to decay, and how to maintain the planetary system, the spiritual planet of Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual planet, I should say, of Goloka Vrindavan, that he does through his Madhurya Shakti and through his six opulences he maintains many Vaikuntha planets, his Aishwarya. So purport, in his gigantic form, Lord Krishna has covered the creation. He holds all the planetary systems and maintains them by his inconceivable potency. Similarly, he is maintaining his personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, through his conjugal love. And he is maintaining the spiritual world, maintaining the Vaikuntha planets, by his opulences. Maya Shakti Brahmandadi Paripati Srijan Uru Krama Shabdir E Artha Nirupan. The word Urukrama indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead who, by his external potency, has perfectly created innumerable universes. Perfectly he creates innumerable universes. Kramas Shaktau Paripatyam Kramas Chalana Kampayoho. That sounds like a definition. Translation, these are the different meanings of the word Krama. It is used in the sense of potency, systematic arrangement, step, moving, or trembling. So five definitions are given here. Again, Prabhupada puts in this purport, this is a quotation from the Vishva Prakash Dictionary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive. Not only does he carry the three worlds by his inconceivable energy, but he maintains them also. He's also maintaining his spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavana, by his conjugal love. And he's maintaining the Vaikuntha Lokas by his opulences. He maintains the material universes through his external energy. The material universes are perfectly situated because they are created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We always like to see that there is imperfection all around us. But this is planned imperfection. There's a method to the madness. We think that we have to improve upon this material world. That is in fact the essence of the godless endeavor, the scientific endeavors. They want to fix everything as if it were broken. But we've heard already from the Shruti Mantras, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavishishyate. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is already perfect. He's already Paripurnam. He's complete and he's completely perfect in every respect. The imperfection, Srila Prabhupada points out in his explanation, is in the vision of those who are emanated from him. The conditioned souls, they're the ones that have the imperfection. And similarly, this creation, we like to see that things are not working. When we see that things are not working according to our desire, we assume that this is imperfect, but actually it is the perfection. It is intended not to work. The imperfection that we see is actually intended to remove our own imperfection. This is the point. So, this is the idea, Paripurnam.
Prabhu, isn't this the vision of the Paramahamsa that everything is perfect, everybody is situated properly?
Yeah, the Paramahamsas can see the perfection everywhere. They understand there's no mistakes here, there's nothing's wrong. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, this is the idea. Kurvanti pada e parasmai pada hai. Krishna sukha nimitta bhajane tatparya kahai. Now we've gone on to the next one. Kurvanti. Atma ramashti munayo nirgrantha apyarukrame kurvanti. This is the second half of the verse now. Shall we, it's almost noon now. Should we continue? Or this is a convenient point to stop if we want to stop now.
Kirtana Sundari Mataji, what do you think?
Yes, Prabhu, I think so now altogether it's a different topic now. The next word, Kuruvanti, has come up. And anyway, yes, tomorrow Prabhuji will be continuing. So we can continue tomorrow. But thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. All glory to Srila
Prabhupada.
Anyone has any questions? Any comment?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Tanva Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. A beautiful, beautiful lecture and wonderful realization, Prabhuji. I know it's so, so difficult to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, but you're making it simpler by connecting it how with the scripture of Bhagavad Gita and others, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Looking forward to more of your association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I'm just reading what Prabhupada wrote. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti, Koti, Dandas, Pranam, Sila Prabhupada, Sila Sudev Ki Jai. Please give your assistance and regularly, Hare Krishna.
I cannot hear you. I can hear someone speaking, but I cannot hear any words.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti, Koti, Dandas, Pranam, Sila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Sila Sudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for Nectarian class. It is, we have to hear 2 to 3 times because we are not that much qualified, Prabhuji. And thank you very much for your association. Please give your association regularly to Shishi Japa group. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so if there are no more comments, so thank you so much, Prabhuji. We'll end up here. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. One second.